Well, praise the Lord. We want to take another word on the blood of Jesus Christ today, on the blood. Shall we say the blood? But the blood is really referring to Jesus' blood.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, I could preach 52 weeks in a year and still be talking about the blood. Really. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
The life is in the blood.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And remember, I think I wrote it on the board. We're talking about three different things concerning the blood. One is the atonement.
Amen.
Of the blood. I'll write it again. The atonement, and the atonement is what? It's the cleansing. It's the purging. It's the removal of the stain of sin. Amen?
Amen.
Brother, sister, you've got to have faith in the atonement of the blood if you are to live a victorious life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, the blood is there. It's available. If you don't avail yourself of it by faith, it doesn't do you much good. You follow what I'm saying? And the second one that we mentioned was, I'll use the word consecration. And the blood that was put upon Aaron and his sons on their right thumb, their right ear, their right great toe, the big toe, we call it. It was a consecration of them, setting them aside. People dedicated to the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God says that we are, it's God's purpose that we would be a whole nation of priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A peculiar people, a holy nation. Amen. Under the blood. Hallelujah. And the last thing I'm going to say, and there's so much more I could say about the blood. I could talk about the healing power of the blood. Amen. I'm just not going to do it all this time. But I want to talk about number three, the protection. Amen. I said I might talk a little about Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not going to really say much about it. I was looking at it. It is so much almost a carbon copy of chapter 9. It's saying the same things. Let me just take a few verses here out of chapter 10. And then we're going to go back to the foundation, amen, of the blood. All right? I'll just read the first three verses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. The law was a shadow. Amen. The tabernacle that they built in the wilderness was a shadow. I call it a foreshadow, if you don't mind my using the term. It was looking forward to the time of Jesus Christ. It was looking to the fullness. Amen. You can tell the nations about this. Tell them that the fullness has come. Amen. Hallelujah. So, not the very image of the things. It was a shadow, not the actual representation. Amen? Can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and what have you, it was not perfect.
No.
Because Jesus is the only perfection. Amen? For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. See, this is the thing that bothers us, is our past. And this is what the accuser of the brethren, this is his specialty, is reminding us of our past. There is not a person here that doesn't have a past of something that you're ashamed of.
Of course.
And we're not gonna air our dirty laundry here, even though you say, well, it's a fact. Yes, it's a fact, but the facts are not the truth.
Right.
Do you follow what I'm saying? You can tell facts about people and say, well, I'm telling you the truth. No, you're not telling me the truth. You're telling me factual information. The truth is, this has been removed from that man by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that is the truth.
Yes.
Accusation of a man who is under the blood is not truth.
Amen.
And it is the specialty of the accuser of the brethren. This is what he goes around to do. And when we go around prattling our mouth about things that are under the blood, about other people, we are working for the devil.
Amen.
You understand that? I don't want to be working for the devil. Do you?
No.
Hallelujah. No. Amen. That's part of his kingdom. Now, I'm just going to do a few verses here. I'm not going to do the whole thing. Purge our conscience from sin. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
Part of your conscience is the continual memory of your past. A continual reminder.
Right.
And guess where that continual reminding comes from? It means that you're listening to the whisperings of Satan and his agents. You know, we have a guardian angel. I really believe we do, assigned to look after us. They are watching over the heirs of salvation. That's what the Bible says. But you know what? I believe Satan has also assigned one of his agents. Which one are you going to listen to? Hallelujah. You know? All right. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Amen. I'm just going to repeat a few things again then. Verse 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Get it down, brethren. It's done once for all. He's not going to redo it. He's not going to have another sacrifice. What you have to do is accept it by faith. And believe it. Amen. Go down to verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, I gotta keep saying this one. You cannot believe this Catholic doctrine that says that they're making the blood and body of Jesus Christ all over again every time the priest says his whatever over the bread and the wine. It is not the actual. It is a type. It is a token. It is a remembrance. That's all it is. Amen? One sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. What better place for the enemies of God than under our feet? Do you know when Joshua took the five kings, you know, there were five kings that decided they were going to come again. Five Amorite kings. Amorites. Yes. Five Amorite kings decided they were going to come against Joshua and that we're going to get rid of that Joshua once and for all. No, that isn't what happened. God turned the situation around. They locked those five kings in a cave. Amen. And Joshua said, lock them in there. We're going to go after the rest of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Bind the strong man, brethren, and go after all the other devils. And when you come back, kill the strong man. Hallelujah. But Joshua, when he got back from pursuing all those that were following those five kings, he says, bring them out now. They brought him out, and what did he tell his captains and his officers? He says, come over here. Put your feet on the necks of these guys. Oh, that felt good. Yes, that's where my foot belongs. My foot belongs on Satan's neck. You say, well, he's a wicked old serpent. Yes, put your foot on his neck and he can't bite. That dragon. Jesus said, I want him as my footstool. Hallelujah. All right. Now, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Having therefore boldness. Now, I don't mean brazenness. I don't mean cocky arrogance. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about by faith. It's a humble, it's humility on our part, but it's a knowing that it's done.
Amen.
You are forgiven.
Amen.
Somebody once said to me, kind of in jest, I think, they said, well, who do you think you are, God's little honey?
I said, yeah.
And I said, yes, I know I'm forgiven. No, I'm not any more special than you are, but I know I'm forgiven.
That's right.
And I'm going to walk in that knowledge.
That's right. Walk in the knowledge.
Amen.
Glory.
Yes, hallelujah. That means I can go into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
What's in the Holy of Holies for me? The very Shekinah presence of God Himself. When I have need, that's what David did. When he had need, he went in to the Holy, he went into the tabernacle of David. There was no veil. David go in there, he'd talk to God. God, shall I go after these Hittites or whateverites they were? Shall I go after them? Shall I chase them? What shall I do? I mean, he had a communion with God. Now, by law, he wasn't supposed to be in there. He wasn't a priest. He was a different tribe. But God said, I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David that's broken down. Hallelujah. It means, it doesn't mean there's going to be a natural tent set up somewhere. No, it's a spiritual principle. God is going to put us in a place where we know that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help. Who do you call when you need grace to help? Call upon Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can't do you much good, but He can.
Yes, go to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
But let us draw near with a true heart. Verse 22, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. There it is again.
Amen.
Our heart sprinkled. Sprinkled. Sprinkled with what? Water? No, blood.
Blood.
That means the blood of Jesus is on my heart.
Amen.
That means Satan has no business touching my heart.
Amen. That's right.
He has no business whispering anything to me.
Amen.
And if I'm a fool enough to listen, then I deserve whatever. No, I don't deserve. I don't want to get anything that I deserve.
No.
Don't ever ask God to give you what you deserve. You know what? You know what you deserve?
Yeah.
You deserve hell. Don't ever ask God, well, I deserve it.
No.
No, no. I've earned it. No, you haven't.
No.
Ask Him for mercy.
Yes.
Let us draw near. Amen. With a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. I like this verse 25. Let's not forget that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. already, by the time this was written, there were people that were forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They were saying, well, I don't need the rest of the body of Christ. Just me and Jesus, we got our own thing going, you know. We're it, just the two of us. No, that's not God's purpose. God's purpose is a body. Amen. And in order to get life from the body, you have to see the body, you have to touch the body once in a while. Amen. The body, my hand has to be attached to my arm in order for it to function.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
It's a useless hand laying out in the yard. Even one finger detached from my hand is no good. The finger can say, well, I belong to the hand. Well, yeah, you belong there. What are you doing out there in the yard? Get onto the hand where you belong. Or you're going to die. Yes, it will die.
That's right.
I mean, in the natural, it's only a matter of an hour or so. Unless you can preserve that thing really fast, it isn't going to live. All right. I want to talk about protection. Let me go back over to Exodus now. Do I have time to go to Exodus? Oh, sure. We got lots of time here, haven't we?
Yes.
Amen. With just a little introduction here.
Exodus
Passover. I think it's about chapter 7 or 8. I was reading it last night, and you know, I didn't remember the number. It's about 9 or 10. Yeah, here we go. No, it's beyond that. It's going to be number 12. Number 12.
What chapter?
Number 12.
Sorry about that.
Exodus 12. Now, this is God speaking to Moses, all right? He said, this month, verse 2, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. All right? So, the month was the month Abib. I'm saying it wrong. If Ellen were here, she'd be correcting us all with her good Jewish pronunciation. He said Aviv.
Aviv.
Aviv. Yeah. There's a B that. Yeah. There's a B there that sounds like a V.
Yeah. That's right.
It's spelled A B I B, but it's pronounced Aviv.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Tel Aviv. I wonder, that probably means the same thing.
Spring.
Yeah. It's the springtime, and pardon me if I still say Abib, but what it means is that the barley has come to a place of ripeness where it can stand. If you put the grains of barley on a hot stove, they will not melt. They will remain hard. Okay? Now, brethren, there's something good. I can throw in a little something else here. There's something good about barley. Barley, insofar as the world's consideration, is inferior to wheat. But, in the Bible, barley is the first fruits. Because the barley comes before the wheat.
Okay.
Oh, you'll find that right here in Exodus. It says that in the plague that destroyed it destroyed the barley, but it didn't destroy the wheat. Yeah, here it is. Verse 31, in chapter 9. This was the plague of hail. It says, and the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not growing up. So what this Aviv means is that the barley, and barley is first fruits. Barley is first fruits, brethren.
They've been tested.
Every time you find the harvesting of these grains, you find the barley is harvested first. In the time of Ruth, in the book of Ruth, all right, Boaz harvested first the barley. And she went out into the barley fields first. And then he told her, he says, stay on and stay for the wheat harvest. So she stayed for the wheat as well. Okay? And I want to be part of the first fruit company.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The world may consider us inferior to the church system. Amen. But God says, no, I want the first fruits.
Pardon to the world system.
Amen.
Oh, you have okay.
Well, I'll take two.
Some more?
Amen. All right. Now, no. So, now he says that they are to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month. Okay? They're to take the lamb. We mentioned this last week. Take a lamb into your house on the 10th day and keep it until the 14th day.
Which is the middle of the moon.
Yes, which is halfway through the month of Iv. Okay? So, you're seeing here how these numbers are important to the Lord. Okay? Now, and on the 14th day of the month, they were to kill the lamb in the evening.
What verse are you reading?
I'm reading verse 6. Okay? And then in verse 7, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. Okay? Do you see the picture here?
Mm-hmm.
The two sides, the side posts of the door. That would mean, in other words, the frame, what we would call the frame of the door.
Right.
The door frame has two sides, it has a top. Okay? Now, when you come in, where's that sign? Anybody ever look at these little signs up here that somebody gave us? I'm going to read it. These are little signs that somebody gave us years ago. Every person or thing that passes through this door is placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that. Hallelujah.
I think it was Sister Marilyn that gave us those years ago. You haven't forgotten, have you? Amen. So, everything in that house is under the blood.
Amen.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Now, remember, we're saying that a natural house is one thing. I want my natural house under the blood of Jesus, don't you?
Yeah.
I want my whole property line under the blood of Jesus. All right? That's natural. But the natural is always a shadow, a foreshadow, a type of the spiritual. So, look at my natural body. All right? I've got some side posts. Amen. And I've got a lintel. My mind. My mind and my actions and my doings and my goings, my walk. Amen. I want it under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, I am going to believe by faith. You've heard everything we said so far about the blood. I'm going to believe by faith that I have the blood on me. My soul is covered by the blood. All right, now let's look at why. Why do we have this? The Lord says in verse 12, He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night."
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is difficult to understand, but we're going to go ahead with it anyway. I will pass through the land of Egypt, He said. All right? "And I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord."
Amen.
You know, I kind of like that, the way that when the Lord is talking to Moses and He tells them something, He gives them a commandment. He says, "Ye shall not do this. I am the Lord."
Amen.
I mean, I like that.
Yeah.
And He always finishes His statements to Moses by saying, "I am the Lord."
Amen.
Well, he could have just said, "I am."
Right.
Mm-hmm. The power in the word "I am."
Mm-hmm.
All He has to say is I mean, when they went to arrest Jesus in the garden, who are you looking for? These are the priests of the temple. "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." "I am."
Yeah.
And just saying, "I am He," knocked them all down. And they had the audacity to get up and try to tie him up. I mean, they should have just said, look, we know you have the power to knock us over so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Why don't you just come with us peacefully now? Sir, we know you could kill us with one word. Really, he had. Come on, you've got to have an appreciation of the power of the blood.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Power.
Mm-hmm.
Authority that he has.
Yes.
Amen. And he said, I am going to execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt.
Yeah. Glory.
Hallelujah. Now, he said, I am going to pass through Egypt. What does Egypt mean? Spiritually, what is it a type of? Egypt means the world. How many of you know that God is going to pass through the world in a great and terrible day of the Lord?
Oh yeah, amen. Yes, amen to that.
It's called tribulation, but you know what? It's called the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
In other words, the Lord is in charge of that.
Yep.
It's almost like the Lord saying, the day is coming, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass through this world, and I'm going to, for 3.5 years.
Yep.
And I'm going to pass through.
Yep.
But I've made provision for you.
Yeah.
I've made provision to take care of you.
Right. Yes, he did.
If you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen.
Now listen. He says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are.
Yes.
And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt."
Watch out for us.
Amen.
Now let's just go on here. Then he's talking about the unleavened bread. We're not going to get into that today. And then we come over to verse 22 again. Verse 21 again tells him to kill the Passover lamb. Verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop. Didn't Brother Warnock write a book about hyssop?
Yeah, you're not talking about Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of the Tabernacles.
Didn't he have another book about hyssop?
It seemed like there was something, but I didn't know what it was.
The hyssop that groweth in the wall. Didn't he have a little booklet on that?
It seemed like I remember.
You know, I'm going to have to go back and look at my books from Warnock. Brother Warnock is in his 90s,
yes,
living in British Columbia. Mighty servant of the Lord.
Mm.
Just he's getting old, he's getting weak. Remember him before the Lord.
Mm.
Amen. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. See, hyssop is like a little paintbrush. It's a natural little paintbrush. Amen. And strike the lintel in the two side posts of the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Alright, let's go on. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you, unto your houses to smite you. Alright, let's understand what he's talking about here. First of all, he says that when the blood is on the house, you have to stay in the house.
That's it.
You can't say, all right, house. What is house?
Sanctuary.
What is the house of God?
Sanctuary.
Who, let me say it this way. Who is the house of God?
We are.
The people of God.
Amen.
Are the house of God.
Amen.
Well, I don't like being in this house. It's too constrictive, some might say. Well, I'm getting bored in the house. Well, I like to go out at night. You know?
Oh,
I don't want to stay in here all night. I can get out and get back in before midnight. I mean, can you imagine people saying things like that? But you know what happens? If you're out of the house, you're out of the protection.
That's it.
God has no obligation to protect those who are not where He asked them to be. And this is why in Revelation chapter 11, He says, "Rise and measure the temple and they that worship therein. But leave the outer court out of your measurement." I added the word "of your measurement." "And measure it not, for it has been given to" who? "The Gentiles, and it shall be trodden underfoot for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. Gentiles, Egypt. Same thing. World. The people of the world. Gentiles, Egypt.
Those 3.5 years represent 3.5 years, Jesus.
3.5 years, okay? And He says, "Measure it not." Now, He's talking about His house, is He not? The outer court is part of God's house. But He's saying that there's coming a time when if you don't get out of the outer court and get into the holy place, you're not going to have any protection. Outer court. Listen, 90% of the church is outer court.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry to use that number. Give me a better number. Tell me 85. It's still too much.
See it on TV.
Tell me 75. It's still too much. God wants 100% of His people to come in.
Amen.
All the way into the house. Not just out there in the court. See, these houses also had a fence around the yard. You go to other countries, they've all got these great big walls and fences around, you know, to keep the thieves out. But the protection is not out there, it's in the house. Alright, so then He says here, "I will pass over you." But then He says here, "I will not suffer the destroyer to come to you." So now, who is really doing the destruction in Egypt?
The destroyer.
The destroyer. God has got a devil that He's loosing from the abyss for a little while, and He's put a limit, He's put a chain on him. He says, "You can have the firstborn, and that's all you can have." Do you know that I believe that there are some of these demons, this one here called the destroyer, special, that God keeps locked up in the abyss. That are probably some of the worst demons that you've ever... No, I won't use the word demon. I'm going to say devil. Devil. Fallen angels. Horrible creatures that have to be locked up.
Demonic.
But get let loose there. In Isaiah, He says, "I have created the waster to destroy." And I've created the smith that blows the coals. In other words, God is able to use the devil to bring tribulation, but He uses him. You're looking at me funny. What about Job? God allowed the devil to go after Job. By the way, will you notice that it was God that threw the gauntlet down to Satan over Job? He says, "Well, where have you been?" "Oh, I've been going to and fro and up and down and back and forth in the earth." "Well, have you noticed my servant Job?" "Well, yeah, but I can't get at him." You got a hedge around him. You've got the blood around him.
In Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
To be tempted by the devil. That's right. He had to go through that test. So God is going to loose the destroyer. By the way, that destroyer shows up in the book of Revelation. Did you know that? The destroyer? Let me find it. I think it's in chapter 9 about, yeah.
Destroyer, that serpent.
Chapter 9. Let's look it up here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, yeah, in verse 11, chapter 9, and they had a king over them. These are the locusts that are coming out of the abyss. He says, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. In other words, the angel of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, mm-hmm. and in English it's the Destroyer.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to be let out again.
Yeah.
In the days of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now keep this in mind. It's the same principle. God is letting that thing out. And he's giving him permission to take the firstborn anywhere in Egypt. Anywhere in Egypt, you can have any firstborn you can have. And so this destroyer goes out looking for firstborn. He comes to an Egyptian house.
Yep.
He's got him.
Yep.
He comes to a Hebrew house. The blood.
Amen.
I mean the blood. He is blinded by the blood.
Amen.
He can't come in.
Amen.
The blood is so powerful over the door, around the door, the devil cannot come in.
Amen.
You say, well, he can come in a window. No, the whole idea is by faith. They put it there by faith, and it stops that devil.
Yes, amen.
And it can do the same thing for us.
Yes.
And it is a provision that God has made for the end time. When we are in the secret place of the Most High. Now, God said that I will pass over you. And the destroyer will not be able to come to you. What does it mean that I will pass over you? What he's saying is, I will cover you.
Amen.
I will be an umbrella
protection
over you.
Amen.
And the destroyer. My blood, the life that is in my blood, will protect you
yes.
from it.
Amen.
Is this doing something for your faith today?
Yes, it is.
I hope it is.
Yes.
You're going to live in victory.
Amen.
You're not going to listen to those devils.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
First, we should clean the house.
Well, of course.
Apply the blood.
Amen. It's implied. Amen. Yeah, it's implied that the house is clean. That's implied. Yeah. You can't have that blood unless you have the house clean.
Yes.
You can't have it.
Amen.
And by the way, there were some Egyptians that came into those houses.
Yeah, right.
Say, hey, you know what? I'm the oldest one in my family. I heard what Moses was saying. I have watched 9 of these plagues. Everything that man says is coming to pass. I am not taking any chance. I'm coming in. Hey, you guys, you don't mind having little visitors with you tonight? Hey, listen, can I bring my kids in too? Especially my oldest? Yes. And it says in verse 29, it says, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. What is firstborn? What does it signify?
The first fruit.
Firstborn is like first fruit, isn't it?
Yes.
God is going to take the firstborn of the world. The world's best. Their kings, their presidents, their hotshots, their big time bankers. Yes, judgment is coming to the world's firstborn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No, I don't want to be among the world's firstborn.
Amen.
The big CEOs. The big movers and shakers.
Oh, yeah. The hot shots.
Listen, judgment is coming.
It is. Yes, it is. They're not going to be in for a shot.
And you know what? It isn't these people that are demonstrating down in New York that are going to bring it.
No.
No.
Oh.
God, it isn't these guys.
Nope.
Oh. I mean, they're busing them down from Schenectady.
Yeah, wait.
Did you hear that in the news? Several busloads of them.
Yeah,
sent down to New York City so they can run around New York City and hold up signs and holler and yell and carry on.
Yeah. They're backed up by the labor
unions. The labor unions, yeah, the thugs, they're going down there. You know what? That's not God.
No, it's not.
That's not God.
No. That's me.
This is not the kingdom. This has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. What they're trying to do, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
Mm-mm.
It's all kingdoms of this world.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you one more example. Hallelujah. Yes, we've got time to look at in Joshua. Joshua. Joshua chapter, I think it's going to be chapter 2. And Joshua, verse 1, chapter 2. The son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Rahab's family ran a little lodge. It was an early version of a hotel, motel, whatever, place to eat. Strangers came, you know, tradesmen, people with camel caravans and spice traders and bed and breakfast. Yeah, it was, and there was other things other than bed and breakfast,
right, exactly,
that was practiced in those days, and Rahab was one of them, okay?
Yeah.
And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. He didn't even go there in person, did he? I'm just sitting there, "Go over there at Rahab's house and get those guys that are over there." So he sent his thugs over there. "Bring the men that are come," they sent to Rahab, "bring the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." She's not a believer yet, she's telling a fib. Alright. "And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I would not." In other words, where they went, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. "Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But that isn't what happened to the men. "But she had hid them. She brought them up on the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof." You don't understand. If you go to places like India and Africa, they build their houses different than we do. Now, on my roof, you wouldn't be able to hide anybody.
Right.
My roof is steep. You know, and you'd slide off my roof. Yeah. I have a metal roof.
Yeah.
And I don't put flax up on my roof either. I don't put any grain up there. All right, but they had flat roofs. They do it in India. They do it in Ethiopia. They have quite a technique for building these things. They have all these little poles that they prop up, you know, and they build a deck up there. That's why, you know, and but the rooftop is kind of a nice little place that they can, you know, they've got extra little space up there, you know. Do they do that in Puerto Rico too? Yeah, they have those kind of houses. So you understand quite well about these kind of houses, okay? So she was up there, she brought them up, and she hid them with the stacks, stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. So she had gathered her flax. Apparently she had a field out there somewhere. And her family, you know, her brothers, her mother and father, they were all part of this business too, you know. They also carried on part-time farming, people that lived in the city, okay? And the men pursued them, that would be the king's men, pursued them after them the way to Jordan. In other words, well, they came from Jordan, let's chase them down to Jordan, see if we can catch them. Unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. So they opened the gate again, apparently, let the men out, and then shut the gate again. So these soldiers that are out pursuing, they're not going to get back in again tonight. They're out there. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them unto the roof. Now these men are not out there involved in any hanky-panky or anything else. They're up there on the roof, she's down there. But she came up to visit them. All right, and she said to the men, I know. Now listen to this. This is important what she's saying to the men. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Well, she heard it. She heard it. Now listen to this. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. How many years ago was that?
About
40 years ago, the talk is still going on. The people are trembling in the land of Canaan for 40 years. What's happened? Where are those people? Oh, they're still out there in the desert. Yeah, this camel caravan. They saw them out there. They're still out there. Oh, they're in the plains of Moab. They're getting closer. Oh, I wonder if they're going to try to cross the Jordan. Oh, we don't stand a chance. Oh, their God. Did you hear what he did? Oh, they went through the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well, we don't stand a chance, do we? Now, knowing all this, why didn't they just open the door, come out with their hands up and say, listen, we give up, we want your God. I mean, Rahab had sense enough to figure it out. Why didn't the rest of them have sense enough to figure it out? Because God had hardened their heart that they might be destroyed. Just like Pharaoh, God decided, I want to get the upper hand over the mightiest nation in the world, Egypt. I want to take Egypt because they hate me. And I'm going to show who is God. It's okay for God to think that way. Yeah. Now, we heard, amen, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Do you remember? You remember Og? He was a giant. Og was bigger than Goliath. Did you know that? They said they found his bedstead and it was 13 feet long.
That was Og.
Yes. He was an Amazon?
13 feet.
Wow.
Amorite.
Amazon.
You call him an Amazon if you want. No, there were giants all over. I mean, we've been reading this city of the giants, that city of the giants that Joshua took. He took a lot of cities of the giants away from them.
John said they're finding skeletons.
Yeah, I believe they should be. They should find skeletons.
They're finding them.
If
they've been doing road work in Turkey and they've been finding a huge skeletons.
Yeah.
And some are very.
There were giants. There were real McCoy giants in those days. Amen. And we heard how you destroyed these guys. Amen. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, God told them, let me find some passages here. Exodus 23:27. Let's look at some of these passages. Verse 27. He says, I will send my fear before thee. God said, I will send my fear before you. And you will destroy all the people to whom you shall come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hittites, the Canaanite, the Hittite before thee. All right? Hornets, spiritual hornets. Did you ever get into a nest of hornets?
Oh, no.
Yellow jackets?
I've been attacked twice.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm.
One doesn't act very brave. If you're unprotected. Mm-hmm. Look at Deuteronomy 2:25. Deuteronomy 2:25. This day, here's where he's telling Moses to come against Og and Sihon. Okay, he said, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations. The fear of God he can put on you. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He can put on you,
yes.
So that the world will be afraid of you.
Right, yeah.
He's able to do that.
Yeah.
Just tell him Jesus loves you.
I don't know if you've ever seen that, of people that are afraid of you.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I see it.
I've seen it happen. I've wondered why are they afraid?
Yeah.
I remember walking somewhere. I don't remember where it was. I was walking, and it was like people were coming, and they were doing like this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm thinking, what, am I a general or something? people are doing these things to me.
Certain countries.
Yeah, I think that God can put a spirit on you of such authority that people will regard it. And listen, I'm telling you something. God is going to do this in these times of tribulation.
Yes.
When you're under the blood, you're going to be under His authority.
He's doing it now.
He said, I will give authority to my two witnesses.
Amen.
All right? He says, I will put the fear and the dread of thee on the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. I could read a whole lot more. Look in chapter 11 while you're still in Deuteronomy. 11:25. Here we are. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. He said there shall be no man able to withstand you. I had a man one time who was the chairman of the county board of supervisors. And he was also my boss. And he tried in the worst way to have me fired. But he couldn't do it. The rest of the board, whom he had controlled for years and years, resisted him. Because what I was doing was right, and what he was doing was wrong. I mean, I was in fear. I'm the one who was trembling. But God would not let me go. He would not. I wanted to get out of there. I wanted to find another job. God would not let me go until this thing was completely settled. And you know, when it was all done, I came over to him. He was over in the clinic one day, and I walked down there, and I sat down by him, and I to talk. I mean, he wasn't my enemy. He wanted me fired, that's all. What he wanted to do is protect his wife.
You were a threat.
And she was the one that needed to go.
You were a threat.
But he sat down, I sat down next to him, and he looked at me and he says, "I don't know how you did it." I said, "Did what?" He said, "Nobody has ever been able to beat me, ever." He said, "I have never lost." He said, "I don't know how you did it." I said, "Sir, I didn't come to do this anything to you." And then he began telling me his troubles and his pain and all that. And I said, "You know what, sir?" I called him by name, called him by his first name. I won't say it because I'm recording this. I said, "Why don't you get out of politics? It hasn't been good for you. Why don't you get out?" He says, "No, I can't. I'm in bondage to it." He didn't use those exact words, but that's what he meant.
Yeah.
And you know what? Finally, after it was all over, the Lord released me. I got another job down here in the Capital District. And in less than a year, the man died.
Mm-hmm.
In less than a year. And I said to myself, "Oh my. If the Lord says no man will be able to stand against you, He meant it."
Yeah.
Now, back to Joshua, and I want to look at... She said to the men, she says, "Now I pray you, swear unto me," verse 12, "by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." Go back to Exodus 12, verse 13. She says, "Give me a true token."
Yeah, the ribbon.
Exodus 12, verse 13. Mm-hmm. And it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Token means what? Token means it's still not the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of the lamb was a token.
Right.
And Rahab said to these men, "I want a token. Give me a token." In other words, give me something that I can set my faith on. Okay? And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business," in other words, if you keep your mouth shut,
right.
You know, it's hard for people to keep their mouth shut, isn't it? "If ye utter not our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a cord through the window. That cord is a rope, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not a thread. It's a rope. I think it was a red rope.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it was a red cord.
Possibly.
Amen. "For her house was on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall.
She's still there.
And she said unto them, 'Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers are returned, and afterward may ye go your way.' And the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window."
Yes.
Which I think was the same one. "This line,
okay.
You bind it in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home with thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head."
Yeah.
Now, where did these men learn that? They learned it 40 years before in the day of the Passover in Egypt. When the blood is out there and when the destruction is here, you stay in your house. Can I tell you, brother in Freetown, the little
Quentin Small.
Did I tell you this story?
I don't know.
During the Civil War in Sierra Leone, he had a word from the Lord, and he went over his house. He was right in Sierra Leone. He went over his house and he said, "I plead the blood upon all of this house." And he said the rebels came up the street, burned this house, burned that house, bypassed his house, burned the next house. Burned them all down. These are the old houses from way back that were made of wood. Burned them all, but didn't burn his house.
God made it invisible.
And he says these rebels were out, they'd sleep in the streets, out there smoking and doing, you know, camping out there in the streets of the city. And he says, "I got afraid." And I ran. I fled the house. And he said, "One of the men caught me and they put a gun to me. And they were ready to shoot me." And he said, "But an officer came of the rebels. An officer came and he said, 'You guys are all wanted over somewhere over there. And let this guy go.'"
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And the ones that were going to shoot him, they all fled. They went to where this officer told them they had to go.
Amen.
And he thanked the officer, and he turned, and he looked back, and the officer was gone.
Sounds like the airport.
God sent an angel. In the form of a rebel officer. To tell those soldiers, those lowly guys, "Get out of here, go over there, the big shot wants you over there." But you see, what he said to us is, if I had only stayed in the house, I would have been safe. But I didn't trust the word. I didn't trust my claim that the blood was on the house. But God, he was a new believer. He was a brand new Christian.
Babe, huh?
He was a babe in Christ.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I don't care how long you've been in Christ. You get in a situation like that, you're going to have to fight the spirit of fear.
Amen.
And verse 21. And she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet thread in the window. And when Joshua came back several days later, amen, that thread was in the window. 7 days. And then when the priests all blew the trumpet, amen. What chapter is that here? It's in chapter 7, isn't it? No, it's in chapter 6. I think it is. Yes. Yes. In verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up unto the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman. Amen. And young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swore unto her." And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Israel, and they burnt the city with fire. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. By the way, do you know what happened to her? She married a man named Salmon, which I think was one of those spies. Can't prove it, but I think he was one of the two. She became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth. Their son was Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, and you come right on down the line to Jesus Christ. Rahab, the harlot. Rahab, a Canaanite harlot who came under the blood, and she got cleansed.
Hallelujah.
And she was accepted in the genealogy line of Jesus Christ. Come now. Come now. What about your past?
Yeah, that's right.
The blood can do it. Let's not be thinking about our past anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your criminal past. It doesn't exist in God's eyes.
Go on.
Your sinful past.
Amen.
It's not there. The blood took it away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.